from St. Louis Public Radio. This is the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. I'm Jason Rosenbaum. The race to become Missouri's next governor is hitting a critical juncture, with Democratic and Republican candidates crisscrossing the state to secure their party's nomination on August 6th. I'm here with Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, who's seeking the GOP nomination. Kehoe possesses the most money, the most endorsements, and an above-average cowboy hat, at least in my opinion. Before becoming lieutenant governor, he was a state senator, a longtime car dealer, and is currently a first-generation farmer. And he joins me now. Lieutenant Governor, welcome to the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air.
Good morning to you, and thank you so much for having us on today.
Because of the fact that current Governor Mike Parson appointed you initially lieutenant governor, for better or for worse, you may be seen as part of the status quo in Missouri state government. Is that something that you agree with and embrace?
No, I mean, I would, you know, I've consider myself a 35-year small business person. That's what I've done my entire adult life is operate and build businesses from one sort to the other. Public policy is something I enjoy speaking about for future generations, but I would certainly not consider myself part of the inside.
The other two main contenders for the GOP nomination include Senator Bill Eigel, who joined us on the last edition of the show, and Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft, who will join us on the next edition of the show. What would you say to voters or some of your critics who don't think you're conservative enough and that you've taken policy positions that depart from the GOP orthodoxy?
You know, I think that's crazy because I was born and raised a conservative and my voting record proves that. I have voted for every Second Amendment bill that has come across the Missouri legislature. I have supported over $2.4 billion in tax cuts to Missourians, the most that any candidate in this race has supported and been in favor of. I've also been awarded the Statesman for Life by multiple pro-life organizations as lieutenant governor, and then supported all of the pro-life bills in as a senator. And so those three key main areas is what basically our party has been built on. And I think it's kind of ridiculous that we've all of a sudden got to a spot in our party is, are you a Republican or conservative? And then somebody says on a scale of 1 to 10. I believe that you represent the party's values and you move forward, and that's what I have done in my mind, in my heart, very well since I've been elected into the Senate and now as lieutenant governor.
When I got to know you early in your political career, it was about transportation issues. And one of the things that I'm sure is going to be lobbed against you is the fact that you have advocated for sales tax and gas tax increases for transportation projects. And when I talked with you at Babbler State Park last year, we had a great conversation in the forest. We should talk to more candidates in the forest, by the way.
I would say it's in the woods. I'm not sure it was a picnic table in the middle of a public state park, which
you've
is
said
great.
You've said the amount of taxes you've pushed to be cut are more than the taxes you wanted to be raised. But what do you stand by your embraces of those tax hikes for transportation, even if they've elicited criticism?
We've seen a lot of infrastructure Republicans, Ronald Reagan, Kit Bond, Roy Blunt. I could go on. The last person that increased the gas tax in the state of Missouri was Governor John Ashcroft, and he was very proud of that stand. Matter of fact, as late as 2014, in an interview with several other governors, the interviewer asked, what's one of the best things you did as governor? And each governor asked, Kit Bond, Matt Blunt answered that question. And one of Governor Ashcroft's answer, General Ashcroft's answer was, he'd hate to think of where the transportation system would be if he wouldn't have fixed that funding problem. So, it's not anti-Republican to be for infrastructure investment. Missouri was 49th in funding in center lane per mile, even with the investment that Senator Schatz did a great job of leading in the Senate. We still are one of the lowest gas taxes in the United States, but yet we've secured some funding to make sure Missouri's roads and bridges are safe for our families, and we have the capacity to do what we need to do for economic development.
We got a number of questions through social media, including this one from Something Clever 2022 on Reddit. State employees, and therefore Missouri citizens, are suffering from understaffing and inadequate work conditions. How do you plan on growing that vital workforce? And in what ways will you show your support for them? And how do you feel about their chronically low wages, and how will you improve that?
Yeah, I think over the last 6 years, there's been more done to advance state employee pay than any time in the last probably 20 or 30 years. Now, they were woefully underfunded. I have said in a public hearing before, when you live and work in Jefferson City, you get to know a lot of state employees. And when you stand behind them in the grocery store line and see that they can't afford this or they can't afford that, you know that this is a real problem. But the state government faces the same problem a lot of industry does. Wages in the last several years since COVID have risen at an exponential pace. And, you know, trying to keep up with that has been everybody's challenge, from private business to public business. We're going to continue to support our state employee team. We're going to continue to work with them to make sure we're treating state employees and our taxpayers as customers and do what we can to provide them the resources they need. We have a great team of state employees. I'm a big fan of supporting what they've done. Governor Parson's been very supportive of them. But we face the same kind of juncture that other businesses faces, trying to keep up with that wage growth.
Now, you have the support of a number of law enforcement groups, but one of the state government subset of employees that I feel as part of law enforcement that does not have very high salaries is the investigators for the Missouri's Children's Division, which currently make a starting salary of $44,000 a year. Would you commit as governor to trying and significantly increase their salaries?
Well, we're woefully underfunded, but we're under personnel is why. And one probably leads to the other, right? If you can go to work for another law enforcement agency and start several thousand dollars more, why would you do that? I'm a big fan of making sure we have appropriate staffing for number one at the investigators, and that they have the appropriate pay, because that's a critical piece of who Missouri is. And our most vulnerable citizens are our children. And so making sure that they're in a safe environment is very much a priority to me.
LivingFirst1185 on Reddit asks, when Missourians vote to restore reproductive rights in November, do you plan to respect the will of the voters, or what plans do you have in mind to continue abortion restrictions?
Well, I am not a fan of the current initiative petition process. It likely makes a November ballot, so I would say that right off the bat. But if it should pass, I think it's more critical than ever that you have a pro-life governor in office to make sure that we continue to do everything we can that will be allowed under the law, if it were to pass, to continue to protect innocent life.
We got a couple of questions about immigration. One of them is a bit tongue-in-cheek, so just bear with me for a second. Jock Lindsay on Reddit asks, hi, Mike. I noticed one of your campaign billboards near Sullivan, Missouri, mentioned closing down the border. Are you referring to Kansas or Arkansas? Now, again, that is probably a tongue-in-cheek question, but are your ads focusing on federal immigration policy a non sequitur for a gubernatorial campaign?
Definitely federal immigration policy. I am a big fan of the policy we had with the previous administration under Donald Trump, where we are attempting to close our borders. The wide open border policy has left over let 10 million illegals come into our country. In Missouri alone, that number for just 1 year was 77,000 illegal aliens. We spent over $460 million on illegal alien subsidies in 1 year. And I say all the time, that's money we should have spent on our state's veterans.
In Missouri.
Okay. Just in Missouri.
Where did you base that number on?
I'll get you the source. It's a national source that looks at each state and what the impact is on immigration into their state. But it's a very well-known organization that does those numbers for each state, and I'll be happy to provide that for you, and then you can pass it on to your listeners.
That brings up a follow-up question from Casey TLVDOTSI on Reddit. If illegal immigrants are such a threat to Missouri that we need to send the National Guard to the border, wouldn't we combat this issue better by reducing demand by sending the National Guard after employers of illegal immigrants here within our state? And I think that brings up a question about what responsibility does the business community, the agriculture community, or any other community have to not hire undocumented immigrants immigrants as be basically a magnet for people coming across the border.
Sure, there's many of our farm families across the state that hire immigrants legally through the H-2 process, and they follow the things that need to be done. Seasonal workers, it's a very important part, especially down in the Boot Hill part of our state, of getting our crops out and feeding and clothing the world. But I'm not a fan of sending the National Guard into a private business. If there's bad actors in business, and every business and industry could have a few, then there's a way to deal with that. But the overall need is to lock things down at the border so that people who want to come here, like my family did in the late 1800s, and most families who are listening to this, they come here legally. That's not a bad thing, but it needs to happen legally and not the illegal way it's happening now.
We're talking with Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe, one of three major GOP contenders for Missouri governor. So I'm an award-winning sports reporter, so I'm excited about this question. KCMiz24 on Reddit asks, state funding for Chiefs, Royals, Cardinals stadium improvements, Ashcroft and Igel are no. And I've read articles from your spokesperson saying that you are not dismissing out of hand state funding to keep the Chiefs and the Royals in Missouri. But I'd rather ask you personally, what's kind of your thought process on that very hot button issue?
Listen, I am an economic development person. That's one of my strengths, I think, that differentiates me from the rest of the field. I very much believe in two things. One, keeping the businesses we have here, and then obviously attracting new business opportunities if possible. Because the business we're talking about is called Chiefs or Royals, if you just set that aside for a minute and say, let's say it's called a widget manufacturer, and they happen to be in Kansas City, and they have an incredible tens of million dollar impact on our state. And all of a sudden, one day, they let the local leaders say, we're moving to another state, whether that's Kansas or Tennessee or whatever. Everybody and their brother would say, wait a minute, we got to protect the widget manufacturer here because they have jobs, they have an economic impact, et cetera. It's not about giving subsidies to a sports team, in my opinion. It's about, let's look at the economic impact that that organization is making to our community and to our state, and then what do people together want to do to make sure they stay here?
Why should Missourians pay to help build new stadiums when the owners could spend the money themselves? Like, we're recording this in St. Louis right now, and down the street is St. Louis SC Stadium, which I'm not going to say is completely privately funded because it was built on Missouri Department of Transportation land, but it's largely privately funded, and a lot of people are happy about that. So why couldn't the owners of the Chiefs or the Royals do the same thing?
Well, let me just say I'm a big fan of St. Louis SC, and I've been to many games, and that's been a great addition to the downtown area, and quite a good team. And I appreciate the ownership. To your point, it was private invested in that. There was a small piece of taxpayer investment there, mainly in the infrastructure space. But I'm not a fan of giving dump truck loads of money for new stadiums. But I do think, again, if you look at the business case, in the case you were talking about previously, the Chiefs, what is the business case it's going to take? What is the competition going to look at? And then we got to make a business decision.
And that could be state bonds. Could it be tax credits? Or is it just going to depend on what the situation is?
Yeah, there's multiple pieces in play. I think whether you like it or not, the sports wagering question will be on the ballot. I think that's a big piece of the puzzle of what a team may or may not do. So there's that story is so complicated, and there's so many different things that it could affect the outcome. You really have to kind of look at it holistically.
Okay, before I ask this question, I should point out that I am a member of not one, but two labor unions, SEIU Local 1 for my job at Washington University, and CWA here at St. Louis Public Radio. With that disclosure out of the way, Scott D. on Twitter asks, if Missouri lawmakers send you a bill to implement right to work, which would bar unions and employers from requiring workers to pay dues as a condition of employment, would you sign it or veto it, and why?
Listen, when I was the majority leader in the Senate, I supported right to work. We had it passed. It was signed by the governor. And then 67.5% of Missourians decided it wasn't the right way to go. I have tried to maintain a good relationship with organized labor because there's some issues we're not going to agree on, but at the end of the day, they represent a well-trained workforce that can get things done on time and under budget. And we talk about workforce development in this state all the time. Every state talks about workforce development. And the trades really have an incredibly well-trained workforce, whether it's 562 pipe fitters in their new training center, carpenters, sheet metal workers. I've been in most of those training centers. I really appreciate what the trades men and women do and the quality of job that they can bring to that. So there's spots we're going to disagree on things, but for the most part, keeping men and women to work and improving the state's economy is something that's very important to me.
So based off that answer, you'd veto it? You'd veto right to work?
Well, there's different versions of right to work going on around out there in the conversation. Some of them are county to county, opt-in and opt-out. So I would love to see the piece of legislation that you ask me whether I'll sign or veto before I just say a blanket word to that.
Back in 2013, you voted to lift the ban on foreign ownership of farmland, something that lots of Republicans voted for as a means to allow Smithfield to exist in the state. And Smithfield is a company that used to be American-owned. It was then bought by a Hong Kong company. What do you say to critics who believe that vote was a mistake?
Well, you have to be in the seat when that vote happens, and you have to understand the jobs that were impacted in Northwest Missouri that would have never been recovered in an area that is very low on job opportunities. It was 450 employees, and the times were very different. Our relationship with China was much different than it is today. Today's vote would be looked at much differently. Today's vote would be much different for me personally based on what China has done as a national threat. But as you recall, Jason, I think you were there in the time, that was actually an override of a governor's veto.
It was, yes.
And we had incredible support, Democrat and Republican, in both the House and the Senate. And believe me, even Democrats were voting for that bill because they wanted to protect the jobs. Again, it was a very different environment for a very different situation than we face now, 11 years later, with China being an incredible threat to our country. I've said time and time again, I will not let China or any of our enemies that are on the enemy list that the U.S. State Department puts out own anything in Missouri, period.
So Arkansas actually started the process of confiscating farmland owned by China. Would that be something you would be interested in looking at, or do you think that that is an affront to the concept of property rights?
Yeah, it's a balance for property rights. I fought very hard for property rights as a longtime member of Missouri Farm Bureau, multiple ag organizations. And what, you know, Governor Huckabee Sanders did in Arkansas is probably different than the effect that we would be able to do here in Missouri. We got to work with our agricultural partners and community, and there's a lot of ag industry out there that that would be affected by that before we'd make that type of step.
One of the things that you have said on the stump is that you would seek to make it easier to remove quote unquote liberal prosecutors who you think are not doing a good job. I don't think that there are a lot of Democratic prosecutors left in Missouri, but like, can you elaborate on that? Because I think people in St. Louis County and Jackson County probably heard that and were not super pleased with that campaign promise.
Well, there were a lot of people who were pleased about that. What my point is behind that statement is that as a governor, I believe you have to use the power of your office to back the right prosecutors when they're running in these various communities. And then if you get into a situation like you had here in St. Louis, where you had a prosecutor that was obviously not doing her job, that was not showing up for work, that literally was not the criminals are getting out faster than the paperwork could be turned in by the police. You have to have some options to continue to protect those communities. And I'm telling you, St. Louis City residents wanted somebody in there who was going to be tough on crime. I'm born and raised in the city. You know that. People in the city want their city back. They don't want the criminals running it. And you have to have a tough prosecutor in order to do that.
So would you advocate more aggressively for the attorney general to do quo warrantos against prosecutors you think aren't doing a particularly good job? And you know, I saw an example in Lincoln County where somebody who hit a car and killed three people got a suspended sentence for some reason. Would you try to, like, remove them even though they're Republicans?
Again, it's not a blanket situation on how you would handle each one of these cases are very different. And the track record of how many times something happens, I think, is more important to look at whether a prosecutor's doing a good job or not. And I would support trying to make sure the attorney general had the proper tools along with the local community when possible to make sure they had the authority to step in if criminals were literally not being kept in jail and getting right back on the street on a consistent, ongoing basis.
You had also advocated for the state to reassert control over the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Department.
Yes, I have.
What would you say to people who think that's premature and that Chief Tracy should have an opportunity for a year or two to have some latitude under city control rather than the state reasserting control.
Well, look, as you know, it was under state control for over 100 years back from the Civil War until just about 10 or 12 years ago. And so people wanted to see how that was going to work. And in my opinion, it didn't work. And I think that I believe, and I'm a proponent for state control because I think that the state should have a say in what that police board makeup looks like. I am a big fan of Chief Tracy. He's doing a fantastic job. I want him to stay and work here. And I think this would be a tool, even though I know he is outwardly against it, I think this would be a tool that would ultimately help him.
Do you think, though, it would make St. Louis safer? Kansas City has state control, and they've had a multitude of crime problems under state control. No, I understand that this is like a question of oversight, but like people that want state oversight have not provided me with a lot of evidence that state control will lead to a better outcome.
Yeah, but look, crime is not a here's the answer to fix this problem. It's multiple pieces that lead to it. I think state control in Kansas City works, but there's some other issues and factors regarding the funding of their police department that has happened at the mayor and city council level. So it's not, you can't just say I'm going to fix this one thing and all crime problem goes away. I think it's a series of things you have to have in play in order to get crime under control.
Lieutenant Governor Mike Kehoe is one of three major candidates running for governor this year. Senator Bill Eigel was on the program late last month, and Secretary of State Jay Ashcroft will be here in 2 weeks. Lieutenant Governor, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for your time. It's great to be on with you today.
This episode was produced by Jason Rosenbaum.
Our audio engineer is Aaron Dorr. This podcast was mixed and edited by Aaron.
Our executive producer is Alex Hoyer. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio. Understanding starts here.
Do you find yourself regularly listening to episodes of St. Louis on the Air? Suggest us to a friend you think might enjoy our conversations. And leave us a review and rating on Apple Podcasts on the App Store. It's the simplest way to help people discover our show. Thanks.
St. Louis Public Radio is a member-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis.
The Gateway brings you the day's news each weekday from around the St. Louis region and the state capitals in Jefferson City.
Our schools are accredited. We don't need this bill.
And Springfield.
How many more years must pass before lawmakers see time is of the essence?
I'm Abby Larico. Join me each weekday for The Gateway on the STLPR app or wherever you get podcasts.